you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who was last on the show in, I think it was 2013. It was a really long time ago. It was at least a decade. And what we were talking about then, well, the show was a completely different format then as well, but we were talking about totally different stuff than we're going to be talking about today. So you do have a lot of cool things happening, and we're going to get into all of that. But I think the best way to start this off is for you to introduce yourself, give a bit of background about what you do as an artist, and then we can sort of fill in the blanks of 2013 to now.
Yeah. Well, I'm Mike Zastri. I go by Iron Buddha as my art handle. I've been, I guess, drawing for as long as I've been playing D&D, so since high school, and just never really stopped drawing, but finally found my way to get my drawings out the way that I like.
Cool. I think that, I've known you for a long time. Obviously, people who have been listening to the show for a long time might remember that episode. I doubt they do because there's been so many. But over the years, I've seen you posting more and more art just on social media and just various, outdoor art projects you're doing and drawing the comic book type stuff. And just, it seems to be growing and growing and growing. And then suddenly now you are, full on into this, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, I started doing some bridge murals. Basically a bridge and active transportation pathway murals with Cool Streets Winnipeg, and that was amazing. Most of the time when I draw, I'm drawing in black and white.
Yeah,
that's just the way that I do it. I like it. But this painting project is the palette is decided for me. It's a rainbow.
Oh, cool.
And then I have to come up with whatever I can inside of that palette scheme. So it was a bit of a challenge at first, but now I think, especially after this year, I think I finally found my my footing.
Well, you did some cool stuff too. You had some weird sea creatures on one of them and things like that. You're definitely taking advantage of the space they give you to be creative.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That one was one of my favorite ones. I have four different pieces on Wellington. And that was one of the first ones, too, that I did. And just getting a response from people, like you were saying, posting stuff on social media.
Yeah.
I was doing that especially with the music stuff a long time ago, and just never really got into it. And then doing these bridge murals in real life with people walking by and being like, oh, I'm so glad you're painting whatever that is, because they didn't know what I was painting. They were just happy to see something bright and colorful.
Yeah.
And getting all these comments in real life and people who were invested in the community and they were happy to see what I was doing, game changer.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and then so the most recent thing that I guess that you've done, and there's something coming up we're going to get to in a minute, but at the Prairie Comics Festival, you had sort of your first release of a book that you did. And I was expecting, again, following your social media and stuff, I was expecting to be a single comic. I didn't realize it would be a whole zine thing. This is definitely a throwback to sort of that 90s zine style where you have a bunch of little stories and just, standalone pieces of art and stuff in there. So what is the origin of that thing? How did you come up with that concept?
Oh, the zine culture is something I wish I had exposed myself to a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Because I am seeing so many cool things. It completely changed my perception of what a comic or even what a book or art could be. So I got a grant this year, earlier this year, to work on a Manitoba Arts Council grant to work on a book. It's going to be, I think, about 32 pages, a comic, once it's all finished. And as I work on that, I'm like, this is taking way longer than I thought it was going to be. So the Prairie Comics Festival, which is my release date, is looming. And I'm like, what am I going to do? So I'm looking around at what other people are doing for zines and stuff like that. Like just sort of black and white stuff they've photocopied themselves or maybe got printed online, that kind of thing. And just there's so much cool stuff out there in terms of like folded up little those mini comic 8-pagers.
Yeah.
Just even wild stuff that people are doing with something so simple as folding up a page into 8 panels and then making a comic out of it. Like, I don't know if you saw there was a Die Hard one.
No, I didn't see that.
I can't remember who had it. I'm terrible. But you open it up and there's like a mouth on the inside of it. It's almost like a mask. You can make it talk.
Oh, cool.
Like, welcome to the party, Richter. Oh, amazing.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah. So it really seems like a throwback. And I appreciate that people are still doing this and then starting to do this again, because like the internet obviously makes things easier. It makes communication easier. You can get your work, whatever that is, out to a large audience. But it also, I think, kind of sucks some of the fun away from doing these sort of, you know, handmade, like manual art projects. And that's not just with comics. Like, I mean, people now make mixtapes by plugging their phone and Spotify into a tape deck and hitting play and record. Like, there's
nice.
That whole like aspect of sitting there and doing it all one piece at a time. That's not, the internet can eliminate that, but I think it's almost a bad thing, because there's some cool stuff that happens when you're doing that sort of hands-on element.
Oh, man. Yeah. I remember recording much music onto tape, like my dad's big tape deck back in the day. And then my parents asked me, well, why are you doing that? I'm like, I don't know. Like, just, I can't find this music anywhere else. So
yeah,
I'll do this myself. Yeah.
I mean, I know you have a website and stuff for this as well, but are you hoping to sort of combine the two, like the dystopian future of social media and the internet and everything, and then sort of the very, very old school handmade zines?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I desperately need to update my webpage. I think everybody is at that stage all the time. But I'd like to explore more of what I can do with the website for sure. Because, like, same thing, there's so many options and so many different things that people are doing just with websites and with these zines and stuff. Like, why not a website, like a hand-drawn website?
Yeah.
I've seen some stuff like that. Yeah, man, I'll put in the work. I can do something like that.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess, like, I mean, did you, because the book that you have out now, it's, there's a bunch of stories in there, right? It's not just the one story. Do you have, are you like constantly working on a bunch of different pieces at once? Or like, what is your process like for doing this? Because it does seem like you probably must have been writing and drawing some of these sort of at the same time, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, the grant project that I'm working on is at a smaller scale. So those pages, I can work on those pretty fast. Because it's my, like, the drawing that I do gets just obsessive and detailed. The smaller I make the pages, the better.
Right.
So I'm already going to reduce them down to like a digest size. Some people call it like a zine size, like a regular letter page folded in half.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seems to be pretty good. Like, I'm looking at what my lines look like at that scale, and I like the way that works. So I think I'll keep doing that going forward. But yeah, traditionally it's like 11 by 17 pages, and that takes a long time to draw.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah. The short story that I did in there, the three pager, that one I did at 11 by 17.
Okay.
And it's sick what we can do with our own technology nowadays. Like, I'm printing out those pages on my own inkjet printer.
Yeah.
At 11 by 17 on that same like thick Bristol board, and then inking it out myself.
Cool.
So I do my pencils digitally, all like on an iPad, and then print that out and then ink it by hand over top. And holy crap, does it go faster.
So it's definitely the mix of the technology and the kind of old school way. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's, as much as I want to do everything by hand, the amount, like the length of time that this one book is taking me, it's not going to work. I have to work digitally, like part of it, at least for the pencils.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's cool that you can. It's cool that that's an option to just, I mean, I know it has been for a while, but it's neat. Yeah.
Nine-year-old girl from New Jersey on vacation with her family was learning how to shoot an Uzi submachine gun. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. New Jersey. Jersey on vacation with her family was learning how to shoot an Uzi submachine gun. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. The rat-tat-tat. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. Rat-tat-tat. The rat-tat-tat. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. Rat-tat-tat. The rat-tat-tat. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. The rat-tat-tat. You can hear the rat-tat-tat. Rat-tat-tat. The rat-tat-tat. From New Jersey on vacation with her family was learning how to shoot an Uzi submachine gun.
As far as the actual content of these, I mean, there's from the book that you have out already, there's this kind of a sci-fi Lovecraftian kind of, like, you know, all these things that I feel like you've sort of always been into and been doing. So what is the what is sort of your goal as far as the storytelling, like, with these? Are you hoping to make, like, ongoing series, or is it just going to be sort of one-off, you know, start to finish story in that sort of mode?
Yeah. Well, like, the, like, as much as I hate to say, like, multiverse type stories type thing, Marvel has just about killed it.
Yeah.
But essentially all my stories are set in one shared universe. So, and I talk about Marvel here, but it took Star Trek to actually vocalize, to give it a name, okay?
Right.
Interdimensional mycelial panspermia.
Okay.
So the theory that all of reality is created by the thin mycelial networks of fungus, basically creating space-time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's a...
So, yeah, it took Star Trek to give it words. I didn't know it had a name, but it's a theory that I've been thinking about for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. That's there definitely is some fungus imagery in the one that I've read too, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, obviously, this is something you've wanted to do for a while. I mean, like you said earlier, you've been sort of drawing for a long time. It must have been nice to get that first little book out, the zine, just to have it out in the world, right? I mean, that was your first show doing the Prairie Comics Festival. What was the feeling like to finally, like, say, this is my work, it's, people can buy it, you know? Like, that's got to be cool.
Oh, yeah. That was it. That, like, having people walk by a bridge and say, hey, those creepy animals you're drawing are cool, is one thing. And then actually creating the book, like making the pages is one thing. And then sitting down with a piece of software, putting them all together,
yeah,
color balancing everything, and then thinking about, oh, like a table of contents or like a dedication, something so simple as like, what am I going to put on the back cover?
Yeah, yeah.
I fell in love with that bookmaking process. My partner and special lady friend, Elle Zastry, put out a book last year. And I helped her design that book. And that's where I cut my teeth. And I was like, yes, I want to make more books.
Yeah.
So I didn't have enough to finish that comic. So I took eight pages of it, and then three pages that were original. And then I threw in a bunch of art that I've been working on for the past couple of years. And having something to hold in my hand and show people, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
What was the reception like? I mean, I'm assuming a lot of people who have bought it are people who knew you too, but you probably had some complete strangers at the show picking up the comic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was probably the most interesting part. Like, talking to all the other creators was,
yeah,
awesome. And that was like, sparked a whole other level of creation. But talking to just strangers was wild, because being able for them to like say, oh yeah, I like this, and you know, I see this in your work, and me being like oh my gosh, like this person gets it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, unbelievable. Yeah. super cool.
That is cool. Yeah. Yeah. What is the, I know, like you said, you've had, this is partially based on getting grants to actually, you know, have the time and money to make this actually happen. But I mean, ideally with something like the zine, is this something you'd ideally like to see coming out on a regular basis? I don't know how often you would do it, but I mean, it's.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like yearly maybe. And then just, yeah, a collection of all the stuff that I've been working on. And the more that I do it, the more I realize, like, you don't need to put finished pieces of art in here, right? Like, even stuff that I have unfinished, you zoom in on it, you know, you make it gray. All of a sudden, it's like a cool background for something else. It's
yeah.
like creation upon creation and grabbing bits from over here and putting them all together. And, oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Well, yeah, loving it. I like that too, because I think that a lot of people, I mean, with anything, with film, music, art, like visual art, I think that a lot of people sort of assume you have to have this complete start to finish, you know, fully done thing, but you definitely don't. I mean, bands can put up demos online for people to listen to, or put on tape with demos, and like, you know, people can do short film versions of a feature film. There's so many options, right? And I think it's, I like seeing people actually take advantage of them, because otherwise stuff won't get out, right? I mean, some of those drawings you did, if you didn't find a way to sort of fit them into this concept, maybe they'd just be sitting on a page like for the next 10 years or so, right?
Oh, I've got, my iPad is half full of half finished sketches and all kinds of stuff that hopefully we'll see the light of day.
Yeah. Do you think that since this has sort of now started happening for real for you, have you been drawing more? Like, has this increased your productivity just because you're sort of now more immersed in it than you were just as someone doing it as a hobby? I mean, it's still a hobby. I know what you mean, but like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think it's definitely sparked more ideas. I haven't had tons of time to sit down at the drawing table. I've actually been painting minis, like Dungeons and Dragons minis.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, I don't know. I feel like I have to compartmentalize sometimes and do different art to like cleanse my own palate, sort of
sure.
thing. It's weird. I don't know.
You don't want to overkill it on one thing and then like lose the ideas, yeah. lose the motivation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I've been working on another book idea and a choose your own adventure type story.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. Now that I'm like, oh, you mean you can just make your own book? Well, like my favorite kind of book when I was growing up was a choose your own adventure series called Be an Interplanetary Spy.
I remember that book. I've read that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah.
Those were amazing books. And there were little things like you'd do little puzzles in them and solve little codes and all kinds of stuff. And I was like, yes, I want to make a book like that. So right now that's like the main focus of what I've been working on.
Well, I guess the zine format too works perfectly for that, because you have, you know, a short part of a story and then there's room for like, you know, but here's a puzzle, here's a code, whatever. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's yep. cool. Yeah. What is, what are you hoping to, I guess that's not really what I'm going to ask. Once you have this, the next thing done, like, do you already have ideas ahead of time? Do you already have like the backlog of sort of, once you accomplish this story, you want to move on to this idea? Or is it really, really like singular focus on one thing until it's finished?
Oh, I've got a list of things that I'm working on, and the priorities shift, and
yeah.
I move them up and down on the list as I go. So like, I've got ADHD and it's tough to work on one single project. So I find having to move around and jump around to a few different things is like a necessary part of my creative process.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. One thing that I think is cool is that, you know, even like we said a minute ago with the D&D figurines, right? And like the comics and all of this stuff, it feels like we're in an era now where people who are our age range can still do this and is not weird. Like, I think that for our parents' generations and the ones before that, you wouldn't see someone making comics,
no.
you know, like when they've got, you know, teenage kids and stuff like that. They'd be getting ready to sit on the couch for the rest of their lives and watch football or something, right? But it seems like there's this openness now for people to be able to do like weird, interesting things. And I think we're getting more cool stuff by people who maybe are a generation that wouldn't have done it before.
Oh, yeah. The key is you got to put your drawing table in the living room where the TV is. And then you can do both.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure. Are you still making music? Is that still a thing? Because I know last time the show was a different format. We were just having sort of random people on, but you were also making like some interesting electronic music at the time. Is that still a thing? I feel like I have to ask because it is a music podcast primarily, right?
Yeah. I don't make too much these days. Mostly, most of my gear has been passed down now to my youngest. He's 13. So he's exploring all that year. So it's interesting, but I would like to do an audio component for the book once it's finished, like narrate it and then have like some weird sound effects in the background, that kind of thing.
How would you release that? Would that be like just a video version of it or something?
I guess so. I don't even know. Probably something free, like on the website or something like that. Or like a QR code that people could scan. That's like a link. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead yet, but
that's a cool idea though. I think that, yeah, if you're making your own soundtrack for your own work and reading it yourself too, it's cool.
The Empire Strikes Back. I had a record and book combo when I was a little kid, and I played that one until it was like scratched up to nothing. But, you know, RTG2 would make the little sound. It's time to turn the page.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a few of those too. But then there's the narrator, and then you have like some kind of incidental sound effects. It's not like a full on, you know, background music, but there'd be a guy talking about a sword fight and you hear clink, clink, clink a couple times. And then, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, not, I'm not at the Harry Nilsson level.
We're not writing a score for this thing. Yeah, yeah.
The Land of Point. What was that one?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Didn't we talk about that when you were on the show? Like, or was that on that episode?
We may have.
I think John might have, the former co-host, John might have brought that up, actually.
I've always been obsessed with that album.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's definitely an immersive, he must have been obsessed with that whole concept, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So for people who haven't, who are maybe hearing about you for the first time and want to find out more stuff, I mean, this is an audio format, can't really show what your book looks like, what your art looks like. Where would you send someone to find out more and find out how they can get a copy of whatever you have out at the time they hear this?
Yeah. So I'm going to be exhibiting Saturday, December 14th at the Prairie Comics Festival's Merry Krampus Zine Festival. I'm getting the title wrong. I know I am.
It has those words in it in some order though. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. And it's going to be a bunch of Winnipeg creators. We're all going to be just sort of there, just so low-key selling and trading all of our zines and books and selling merch, that kind of thing.
Cool.
there's going to be a workshop as well going on next door, and it should be pretty fun.
Where is 70, that happening?
70 Arthur.
Okay.
On the sixth floor.
Cool, cool. Is it just comic sort of themed zines, or is it just zines in general? Because you can have zines about pretty much anything, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and it's mostly comic stuff as far as I can tell. I think I have met everyone, but it's a diverse group of creators, that's for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like how the Prairie Comics Festival is doing all these things. It's such a cool idea to have, because there's so many people doing this sort of just below the surface in Winnipeg, right? That are doing basically what you did and giving them an opportunity to show their stuff. I was only at the event a few months ago for like half an hour, but it was like overwhelming the amount of stuff that was there. It was super cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. You're right. Overwhelming was the word. Like, I tried to look at everything and yeah, it was just insane.
That's crazy. It's good to see.
My first show, I mean, yeah, like I'm walking around going, wow, I got to try that. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, yeah. Just nuts.
Do you feel like it's a, I imagine it is, but do you feel like it's a very supportive community? Like, have you sort of now sort of, you know, found yourself in this group of people? Insinuated yourself. Because with podcasting, that happened with me too. I mean, I sort of found a group of people that now I hang out with all the time through sort of this weird thing that we do, right? So I imagine it's going to be similar for comics.
Yeah. I heard about the Prairie Comics Festival. And so I volunteered. I reached out to them and volunteered at the anime festival.
Okay.
ACON. So basically just sitting at a desk telling people about the Prairie Comics Festival. And I didn't even know that much about it at the time. So I'm just telling people, yeah, it's a great festival. And I'm looking down at the page. It's this and it's that. And so I did that and basically worked my way in there and started volunteering at different events. And yeah, once I got the grant, I was like, okay, on board.
Yeah.
I went and found myself a mentor and, I did it.
Cool. Cool. I'm glad you did. For people, I mean, this, if someone hears it the day this comes out or the week this comes out, obviously that event is imminent. But the thing with this being a podcast, I mean, these episodes live on the internet forever because apparently I can't stop doing this and I don't think I will stop it anytime soon. So it'll be floating around online for ages, right? So if someone finds this even a year from now and they're interested, this might be the first time they're hearing about you, where would you direct them to find your art, to see it online or to get in touch with you?
So my website that I don't update very much is https://.
Do you need to say that anymore?
Yeah, I always say it. Stilled.earth. So that's the main concept of my art is this concept of this planet that's still. There's no ocean currents, there's no air currents, and everything is stagnant and festering and dying and spreading. So yeah, stilled.earth. And then also my Instagram, iron.buddha, or was that underscore?
I can link to it either way. So it's Iron Buddha. Yeah. Check the show notes. The real link will be there. Do you have an Instagram for the comic too, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I called the zine Heat Death.
Right.
Or Heat underscore Death. I like my underscores. Just to kind of bring that whole sci-fi, horror, and fantasy element all together.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.